April 27th. Our reading today in the Old Testament takes place in the book of Judges, chapter 7, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 8, verse 17. We'll see that Gideon was a very unlikely candidate. Now imagine 32,000 Israelites facing 135,000 Midianites. But it was the kind of situation that the Lord uses to glorify His name. Hey, when God is on your side, the size of the enemy is of no great concern. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. The really dangerous enemies were within the hearts of Gideon's soldiers. Fear was one of those dangers. Pure and simple, fear. And that sent 22,000 men home. Now, overconfidence was another enemy. God cut down the ranks from 10,000 to 300 so that the army had to trust God completely. When God strips away your resources, it's not to impoverish your life, but to enrich your faith. Like Joshua, Gideon worshiped God before going to battle, for he knew the source of his power. God used weak weapons to defeat a great host because Gideon and his men were living by faith. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6 says, "For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." God is not limited. Now, we never know when God is using the everyday things of life to test our faith. The men in Gideon's army were tested by the way they drank water. Lot was tested by a disagreement over land. Israel was tested by thirst. And Moses was tested by the complaining of the people. Where does that leave you and me? Well, we must constantly be on guard because sometimes we do not know what the lesson was until we have failed the test. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. April 27th, the book of Judges, chapter 7, verse 1, through chapter 8, verse 17. So Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave and go home." 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will sort out who will go with you and who will not." When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, "Divide the men into two groups. In one group put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream." Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord told Gideon, "With these 300 men I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home." So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns of the other warriors and sent them home. But he kept the 300 men with him. Now the Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. During the night the Lord said, "Get up, go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack." So Gideon took Purah and went down to the outposts of the enemy camp. The armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his friend about a dream. The man said, "I had this dream, and in my dream a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat." His friend said, "Your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over all the armies united with Midian. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he thanked God. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, "Get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianites." He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and a clay jar with a torch in it. Then he said to them, "Keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as my group blows the ram's horns, those of you on the other sides of the camp blow your horns and shout, 'For the Lord and for Gideon!'" It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the outer edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly, they blew the horns and broke their clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands and shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!" Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran. When the 300 Israelites blew their horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to places as far away as Beth Shitta, near Zerara, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, near Tabath. Then Gideon sent for the warriors of Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, who joined in the chase after the fleeing army of Midian. Gideon also sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down to attack the Midianites. Cut them off at the shallows of the Jordan River at Beth-Bara." And the men of Ephraim did as they were told. They captured Oreb and Zeeb, the two Midianite generals, killing Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeeb at the winepress of Zeeb. And they continued to chase the Midianites. Afterward, the Israelites brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. Then the people of Ephraim asked Gideon, "Why have you treated us this way? Why didn't you send for us when you first went out to fight the Midianites?" And they argued heatedly with Gideon. But Gideon replied, "What have I done compared to you? Aren't the last grapes of Ephraim's harvest better than the entire crop of my little clan of Abiezer? God gave you victory over Oreb and Zeeb, the generals of the Midianite army. What have I done compared to that?" When the men of Ephraim heard Gideon's answer, they were no longer angry. Gideon then crossed the Jordan River with his 300 men, and though they were exhausted, they continued to chase the enemy. When they reached Succoth, Gideon asked the leaders of the town, "Will you please give my warriors some food? They are very tired. I am chasing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian." But the leaders of Succoth replied, "You haven't caught Zeba and Zalmunna yet. Catch them first, and then we will feed your warriors." So Gideon said, "After the Lord gives me victory over Zeba and Zalmunna, I will return and tear your flesh with the thorns and briars of the wilderness." From there, Gideon went up to Peniel and asked for food, but he got the same answer. So he said to the people of Peniel, "After I return in victory, I will tear down this tower." By this time, Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor with a remnant of 15,000 warriors, all that remained of the allied armies of the east, for 120,000 had already been killed. Gideon circled around by the caravan route east of Nobah and Jogbaha, taking the Midianite army by surprise. Zeba and Zalmunna, the two Midianite kings, fled, but Gideon chased them down and captured all their warriors. After this, Gideon returned by way of Hera's Pass. There he captured a young man from Succoth and demanded that he write down the names of all the 77 rulers and leaders in the town. Gideon then returned to Succoth and said to the leaders, "Here are Zeba and Zalmunna. When we were here before, you taunted me, saying, 'You haven't caught Zeba and Zalmunna yet. Catch them first, and then we will feed your exhausted warriors.'" Then Gideon took the leaders of the town and taught them a lesson, punishing them with thorns and briars from the wilderness. He also knocked down the tower of Peniel and killed all the men in the town. April 27th. As we look into the New Testament for today, we'll be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 13 through 43. And there's a lot going on here. Pilate wanted to get rid of Jesus as quickly and as easily as possible, but you cannot avoid making serious decisions about him. Pilate ended up condemning an innocent man, releasing a guilty man, and making friends with a wicked man. What a record for a Roman ruler whose responsibility it was to uphold the law and give people justice. Now Herod wanted to see Jesus do a miracle. He was into the circus mind frame. The evil king would make the Son of God into a court entertainer. He was used to being entertained. He was used to being catered to. And he certainly didn't like it when Jesus would not play his game. Jesus performed no miracle. He spoke no word. Herod had silenced God's voice, and there was nothing left for him but divine judgment. Barabbas deserved to die, but was set free because Jesus took his place. Did Barabbas go to Calvary and look at the man who died for him? Well, probably not. He was just glad to be free from the sentence of death so he could return to his old ways. He was free, but not really. He was still in the bondage of sin. And for those people, and many more, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Now that's grace. The thief exercised great faith when he asked Jesus to remember him, for Jesus did not look like he was able to save anybody hanging there on that cross. Joseph exercised great courage when he openly took our Lord's body from the cross. Well, with that, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. April 27th, the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 13 through 43. Then Pilate called together the leading priests and other religious leaders along with the people, and he announced his verdict. "You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on this point in your presence and find him innocent. Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty. So I will have him flogged, but then I will release him." Then a mighty roar rose from the crowd, and with one voice they shouted, "Kill him and release Barabbas to us." Barabbas was in prison for murder and for taking part in an insurrection in Jerusalem against the government. Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus, but they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he demanded, "Why? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason to sentence him to death. I will therefore flog him and let him go." But the crowd shouted louder and louder for Jesus' death, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die, as they demanded. As they had requested, he released Barabbas, the man in prison for insurrection and murder. But he delivered Jesus over to them to do as they wished. As they led Jesus away, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country just then, was forced to follow Jesus and carry his cross. Great crowds trailed along behind, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, 'Fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the wombs that have not borne a child, and the breasts that have never nursed.' People will beg the mountains to fall on them and the hills to bury them. For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. Finally, they came to a place called the Skull. All three were crucified there, Jesus on the center cross and the two criminals on either side. Jesus said, "Father, forgive these people, because they don't know what they are doing." and the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched, and the leaders laughed and scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he's really God's chosen one, the Messiah." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." A signboard was nailed to the cross above him with these words, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So, you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself, and us too, while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you're dying? We deserve to die for our evil deeds, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Psalm 97, verse 1 through chapter 98, verse 9. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the farthest islands be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes forth before him and burns up all his foes. His lightning flashes out across the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens declare his righteousness. Every nation sees his glory. Those who worship idols are disgraced. All who brag about their worthless gods, for every god must bow to him. Jerusalem has heard and rejoiced, and all the cities of Judah are glad because of your justice, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He protects the lives of his godly people and rescues them from the power of the wicked. Light shines on the godly and joy on those who do right. May all who are godly be happy in the Lord and praise his holy name. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. He has won a mighty victory by his power and holiness. The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The whole earth has seen the salvation of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praise to the Lord with the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord, the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord. For the Lord is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness. Proverbs 14, verses 7 and 8. Stay away from fools, for you won't find knowledge there. The wise look ahead to see what's coming, but fools deceive themselves.